how that the glory that God has, He has not only promised us, but He's supposed to be giving it to us now. And I want to kind of finish that theme this morning. I don't understand all about it, but I want to experience that. The scripture that was just read out of 1 Corinthians is an interesting scripture. We usually talk about this as referencing the blessings of eternal life, the blessings of living immortal with the Lord Jesus, and of all the wonderful gifts that God has promised to the Christian. And that is true. But I would like to just amplify that today. The Bible says that the eye has not seen nor the ear heard. It has not even entered into the heart of man. Now listen. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Two times in my ministry, I've declined an invitation for a funeral. And one of them was this week. Sunday, I was notified that a lady was not doing very well, and if she died, would I have the service? I wanted to be there with that family. And Wednesday morning came, and pastor called, and I said, I cannot do it. For the first time since my surgery, my eye is really hurting. My eye is just pounding. And I just think it best if I stay home today. He said, I will come and pick you up. I will drive you so you don't have to be concerned about driving. I think he called me three times. And each time I had to say, you know, I'm sorry, I would really like to do this, but I just don't think I should. It's hard to say no when you are used to saying yes and you want to say yes. Yes. I didn't feel very filled with the glory of God last Wednesday. That's what I'm trying to say. And yet Scripture is very clear that God wants to do that for us. As a believer, we are supposed to be living a glorified life each day. And I have a hope that our hearing would be so good now that we could hear something from heaven on this matter. My hope is that we might see something from heaven on this matter. I've spoken about God's glorification before. I've spoken here about eternal life and the glories of heaven, and that's a good theme, and I enjoy that, and we polish all of those texts to where they're just shining about the good things that God's going to give us. But there's a lot of deeper meaning than that. Would you turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul speaks about being caught up to this third heaven. We call it paradise. That in itself would make a good sermon. But in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, it says that how he was caught up unto paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. And it's interesting here that Paul, as this maturing Christian, would take the direction that he takes in this chapter. And of all the Bible writers that knows about the goodness of God and what God has planned for his people, Paul comes up with this particular slant. And I don't really like what Paul says here. I don't really appreciate it as I should. Maybe you do. Maybe you could stand today and say, Pastor Stover, I can identify with the Apostle Paul. Notice with me in verse 10 what Paul says. He says, I have become a fool. No, I'm sorry. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12:10. He says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I would like to arrive at that place, but I'm not there yet. I want to have good vision. I don't like it when I'm driving and people run off the highway to get out of my way. I like to have a heart that beats regularly and faithfully. I like to have a pituitary gland. That's all I want to say about all of that. But the saints of God have a destination. It's called a heritage. And I'm still on to this idea that heritage involves glory. And a proper definition of glory helps us to appreciate what is in store for God's people. There are no reserves for the good things that God is going to give those who love Him. You shall be in the paradise of God. You shall sit on the throne of God. You shall walk the streets of the New Jerusalem. You shall rule, as the Bible says, with God Almighty. And God has called you to certain things as a Christian. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite biblical preachers, in his day, he had the tremendous experience of being one with God. I believe it. Had some theological issues, but a good preacher. He says, we are called to repentance. We are called to faith. We are called to holiness. We are called to perseverance, that we may afterwards receive glory. I think a couple of weeks ago I gave you the text out of the book of Luke where Jesus himself spoke with his own lips, and he said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, I've since found some order to this. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 8. I'm thankful that what we feel does not determine what is truth. You may get up in the morning and you may feel badly, but that does not determine God's attitude toward you. In Romans 8, we find this interesting verse about predestination. But notice this, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, there's a spiritual progression here. It's natural with God, but it's unnatural with man. God calls people to repentance. You have been called to repentance. You have heard the voice of God in your life. Well, the scripture says connected with that is justification. If you are called, you are also justified. If you are justified, you are also glorified. There is no way to separate the call of God from the justification of God and the sanctification of God and also the glorification of God. Now, may I ask you, where are we today? In that natural spiritual progression, if we are called, if we are justified, if we are glorified, where are we today? How does this happen? When were you justified? It is a process, and it is a status. Over here, someone says, before the world began. That's exactly right. And Paul makes a strong argument here that if we are justified after we have been called, we are also glorified, and there is only one by one means all of that takes place. That's through Jesus Christ. And his reasoning is that because Christ, now listen to me closely, because Christ provides the justification and the glorification, everything that belongs to him also belongs to us. What was it that Paul heard when he ascended up into glory? He says, out of the body or in the body, it really doesn't matter. I had the experience. He saw into heaven itself, Becky. He heard the thoughts being expressed there that he felt he had no right or no way to express with word and with pen. He could only say, I've been there. I've heard. Like John, he could say, I have seen. It is a real place, that which God has in store for us. You know, in construction, you can glue some things together. You can nail things together. There's a great variety of screws to hold things together. Metal and wood and block are sometimes bolted together. We weld and we rivet different materials so they bond and become strong. But the heritage of the saints is connected in a way with the glory and the presence of God that can never be pulled apart. It's called death. Strange. Strange that through the pain of death, there could be a connection made between heaven and earth. Because Christ died, there was a connection made with humanity. He wasn't just paralyzed. He wasn't hypnotized, but he died. Fought a good battle of faith. Overcame the evil one. And being one like us, and he won the victory, it brings up some interesting theological implications. Prayer meeting of a few weeks ago, we were in 1 Samuel. David and his army is just celebrating a huge victory. There were some soldiers that had stayed back at the supply camp. Some of you remember this? They had taken care of the supplies and protected the home base. And David and his army had ended up with a great bounty of treasure. But some of the soldiers did not want to share with the men who had taken care of the supplies back at the home base. And David says, all who share in the battle, whether you fight or you have not fought, if you've been on the right side doing your job, you share in the bounty. Now, some of us here have and some worldwide have endured tremendous pain. You know, when I see pictures of ISIS and the charge from those militants are that they've cut off the heads of Christian believers, that just makes me angry. I find it hard to pray for enemies. Do you? I want us to send a special team of rangers or bombs or somebody over there and, you know, kill off all those people that are killing off the Christians. That's the way to handle that, right? Well, no, I'm glad I'm not in charge of all of that. But there's great pain and affliction because of faith. But those who share in the battle also share in the victory. The victory is this glorification that takes place as a natural progression from being called, justified, sanctified, and then also glorified. I like to think about eternal life in the sense of the blessings that God gives. You will be able to travel through space. That's interesting. That sounds like a lot of fun. Either through a thought process or through a physical way of moving through time and space. Being reunited with loved ones. Some of you may be friends with the Land family out of Conyers, Georgia. Mrs. Land died this week, and Fred posted on Facebook very sweet commentary about his mother, and it had a picture of her there. And he said, the next time I see her, she will look more like this picture. No inhabitant of that land, Roy, shall ever say, I am sick. There's no hunger, no thirsting, no death and dying, no poverty. I tell you what is there. That's glorification. That's what's there. When the text says that the Holy Spirit reveals to us that which cannot even be thought or imagined, he's talking about glorification. Have you ever thought of it that way? Of being pardoned, renewed, justified, sanctified, glorified. Let's close with a text. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. I believe if Jesus were here today, he could point out to you and he could say, study this chapter. Think about this. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Well, how come? It's because when sometimes doors close, we find ourselves in the hallway. We need to praise God in the hallway when the doors are closed. Amen? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I challenge you to think about that. Verse 18, it will work, but you have to do this. You have to put verse 18 with it. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We spend way too much time thinking about what's happening on earth, the things that we can see, instead of focusing our thoughts upon things eternal that we cannot see. But verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all go to heaven? Wouldn't it be nice if all of our children would go to heaven? Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus could choose to come at a time when none of us would be missing? What a great, wonderful time that would be. Well, I've got some good news for you. For the very best of godly ability, that's exactly what God is trying to do. He's going to come at a time when the most people shall be saved. You are called to enjoy the glory right now. But knowing we don't receive it now, we can claim it. But praise God, very soon He's going to appear.